Welcome back to the Over the Monster podcast. I am Brian Joyner, here with Dan Secatore. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Brian. How you doing? How was your weekend?
My weekend was...
I don't know why I'm asking you this on Thursday. I don't even remember what I did.
Exactly. That's the point. It's once we're at Thursday, the weekend coming up is the only, you know, it's like just
all right, I'll ask
what's
you
my
that,
favorite
what,
weekend.
Is what the do you next got going one. On this weekend?
I am, as far as I know, my main plan is to put together the Trader Joe's Halloween gingerbread house with my children.
Oh, nice. That sounds fun. Gingerbread houses are gross.
Yes.
But it sounds like a fun activity.
It's a thing to do. Oh, we may go on a hayride too, Dan. Also may go on a hayride.
Last weekend I did my sacred duty as a New Englander and went apple picking. Did the hayride, did a maze for the first time. Have you ever done a maze, a hedge maze?
Yes.
You have? Okay. So yes. You know that it's really cool for the first 20 minutes, and then it's increasingly frustrating for the next 20 minutes. And then for the last 20 minutes, it was awful until we finally
I've been in a hedge maze for a month. I can't get out.
So. It's a good thing you brought your podcasting equipment, though, in there.
Amazing.
Yeah, we actually ended up, I was with two kids, five and under, who were really starting to lose it. At the end, we just said, screw it, we're cutting through the hedges and just escaped at the side. So we never even made it through, never made it to the end.
I don't give upstate New York full New England credit on a lot of things, but apples, we got good apples around here.
Are they better apples?
I think they're better apples. I think they might be. But enough about those apples. let's talk playoffs. I don't know if you know this, but they're going on right now.
I have noticed that.
I may have jumped around the rundown, but we'll get to the cake.
Let's talk postseason.
Okay. Dan, you let me know again that you had thoughts. I would just like to know your thoughts because I think you're ready to spill them for the people.
Well, before I get into it, I actually have a question for you. Brian Joyner, in the event that you either A, get canceled, always a risk for people in our profession, or B, you just end up in some sort of like bad drug cartel situation that goes sideways, and you have like $90,000 in cash and you need to sever all ties to your current life and go off the grid and never be heard or seen from again. Do you have an off-the-grid life plan?
Well, this happened to me last week, so yes. but
you didn't follow through.
I think the entirety of my off-the-grid life plan, unless we're talking about major flooding for the world's oceans, is to just go to my house on Martha's Vineyard and just eat frozen pizzas. I think that's it.
Yeah, okay. That's not bad. That's not really severing all ties to your existing life, though.
It's as far as I'm going to go. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Why are you asking me this?
I am asking you this because I'm about to say something that's going to get me canceled. It's been a long time coming. Been predicted by a lot of people, but here it is, this moment right now. Brian Joyner, I like the Houston Astros.
I don't think any of us expected him to say that.
I like the Houston Astros, and I'm sick of pretending that I don't. It's not just, I mean, it helps that we've been watching them beat the New York Yankees in the playoffs, like four of the last 6 years. So once a year, pretty much, for the last 6 years, I've been rooting for the Astros at least one 4 to 7 day stretch. And I have come around to just liking this team. I don't care about the cheating anymore. I'm done with the cheating. And you look at the team. I mean, first of all, this year's team in particular, one, you got Jeremy Peña. Jeremy Peña, I will never, ever, ever not root for a player from New England, first of all. I love all players from New England. I'm the type of person who keeps track in my head of what the roster would be of the New England national team at any given time. And let me tell you, the New England national team, the baseball program is not in a good place right now. So Jeremy Peña coming along, Rhode Island native, UMaine alum, Jeremy Peña coming along. This is really good for the team. Slot him next to George Springer. If AJ Pollock can get back on the field, got something going on the lineup there. Rotation's a disaster thanks to Matt Harvey, but you know. So Jeremy Peña, love that guy. Love Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker deserves to be so much more famous and beloved than he is. And I do think he is generally beloved, but like, you know, one, he's obviously just sort of a dying breed in baseball. There was when we were growing up in the 80s and 90s, baseball was filled with Dusty Bakers. Like, in order to be a manager or a general manager, you had to be over 60. You had to be a guy who always had his hands stuck down his pants for some reason. You had to speak a language solely of like homespun country wisdom. Like, it was all Dusty Bakers. And today, everyone in the front office is a McKinsey alum, and half the managers are just like 37-year-old former middle infielders who are just, you know, doing whatever the front office is telling them to do. So I miss Dusty Baker. But frankly, even just lumping him into that category like kind of sells him short for who he is, because he isn't, like, he's more than just like a crusty old baseball guy. He invented the high five. Like, that, for that, how do we not talk about that more? That there was one day where there were no high fives, and then all of a sudden Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke high-fived each other and changed the entire world forever. Like, that alone should make him a household name. This guy smoked weed with Jimi Hendrix. This guy owns a winery. This guy was in the on-deck circle when Hank Aaron broke the all-time home run record, and then was in the dugout when Barry Bonds did it later. Like, he's such an interesting, cool guy, and I love him. And I don't you want to see him get a ring?
First of all, the plural of Dusty Baker is Dusty's Baker. Get it right.
Did I pluralize his name? I don't even know I did that.
No, you said Dusty Baker's. I'm just...
Oh, well, I'm okay. Just, yeah, I'm, yes, I see.
I'm
yeah,
just,
you're right.
I'm just having, baseball, I'm having a fun. Fun with Dusty's Baker. I'm having a fun. Okay. Gotcha. I will grant you everything Jeremy Peña related. I got nothing wrong with Dusty Baker. You're right about, I mean, you're right about the McKinsey accounting firm aspect of management, which has trickled down, you can tell, to the actual managers themselves, mm-hmm. Who want to be able to speak that language and speak the player's language. Like Alex Cora, I think, is an example of someone who does it very well. The thing is, yeah, I mean, I have nothing against Dusty Baker. The other thing, and I kind of don't want to step on my draft selections for the draft we are going to do shortly, which is drafting World Series moments we want to see. So there is one pro Houston one in there, and I'll save it for that. All that said, incorrect, and you will be reported to the Red Sox Nation Stasi.
I am going to have to engage my cancellation plan, which is that there is a ferry boat that runs between Barcelona and Tangier twice a week. It takes like 28 and 31 hours to make the crossing across the Mediterranean. I am going to go be the bartender on that boat. That is my new life. This is the last time you and I will talk to each other on land.
Jason Bourne can do that trip in 3 hours, but, you know, hey. He's a Tangiers guy.
Well, he was trying to get back on the grid, so we're in a different situation.
Are you ready to talk cakes?
Ready to talk cake. So, yeah, I guess we should clarify. So, we are recording this on Thursday. It is quite possible when people hear this tomorrow that Rafael Devers is a newly rich man. You excited?
Yes. I'm very excited. I wrote a column. I don't even know if it was a blog. It wasn't even column length. It was a blog yesterday, encouraging the Red Sox to sign their good players because having better players makes your team better.
It's an interesting philosophy, interesting team building philosophy.
It appears that they will be doing that in this instance.
But yeah, so for those of you listeners who do not spend 20 out of 24 hours a day on Red Sox Twitter, there may be Red Sox officials down in the Dominican Republic right now speaking to Rafi. Or they may be just giving him a birthday cake. Now, that is obviously ridiculous on its face. And this is something that keeps happening every offseason with Dominican reporters. We see this over and over again. So what happened was a Dominican reporter named Jensen Pujols, who is a very well-respected journalist down there. He has been in the business for years. He has lots of connections with the players. He knows Rafael Devers. He's interviewed Devers before. We've seen at least one picture of the two of them in a car together. So I don't know if that was like a carpool karaoke situation or they were just giving each other a ride. I don't know. But Jensen Pujols reported earlier this week that Rafael Devers is in active contract negotiation talks with Red Sox officials who went down to the Dominican and visited his house to engage in talks. Again, this happens every offseason. A Dominican reporter will report something like this. And then U.S. beat reporters will come in with these really like patronizing tweets, just refuting everything that these guys say. And it really, really bothers me. I don't know why you need to do it. So in this case, the guy that sort of stepped in it was Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. First of all, just like it, if Jensen Pujols has information that there's a Red Sox official at Rafael Devers' house talking contract, that is news. But if you're a USB reporter and you just call, you know, your guy in the front office and your guy in the front office who's trying to keep things, you know, keep a tight lid on news, says, it's not really true. Do you even really need to report? Like, you're not reporting news. You're just repeating something somebody told you because, as we know, front offices like to keep these things secret. Although, frankly, I don't really know why the Red Sox front office seems to care in this case. You would think they would want the fan base to know that they are pulling all their stops out to sign this future star. But it just, I don't know, does this bother you the same way it bothers me? It's like all these beat reporters come in and like act like they're putting on their big boy pants and they're saying, no, don't listen to those clowns down in the DR. Like, we're the ones with the sources. Everyone back up.
Well, it's, to me, the situation is plain that Jensen Pujols is tight with the player side in the player management dynamic. And then the beats are all tight with the management side.
Yeah.
And all they're doing are the bidding of each side. And I think that you are right to criticize the attitude, a holier-than-thou attitude, because even if they are correct in telling half the story, they're telling half the story.
Yeah.
And that means that neither side is telling the full story, but at least Jensen Pujols is not purporting to. He's saying, I know this is happening right now. That's reporting.
Right. Exactly. He's just relaying a fact. There's an official at Rafael Devers' house. They are talking contracts, which is what Devers told me.
Yeah. So it's beat writing is apparently very territorial. I had thought about being a beat writer when I was young. And the second I got in a press box – I realized I did not want to do that.
Really?
Yes. It was in the Mets. It was at Shea.
Do you want to go into specifics here? I would love to hear what was so awful.
No, I just, and I think this is changing. It was just like, it was really the Hawaiian shirt crowd at the time. This was like,
Springsteen
this was literally
in Hawaiian shirts?
2001. Yes. Yes. So it was in 2002. So obviously, there's so many smart people writing about baseball on beats, nationally, on blogs, one hopes. And that's good. I think that naturally, as in any competitive field, this is just like marking territory. Yeah.
And you're right. And I don't want to drag these guys too much. They're just repeating what they've been told. But I guess my question is, like, why? Why are you doing that? Don't do that. If a respected reporter in the Dominican reports something and then somebody tells you something differently, like, you, if you have to say something, if you just have to tweet, you can just say that. You can just say, hey, Jansen Pujols is reporting that Devers says contract talks have started. I've been told different things. Well, I don't know what's going on. Like, that's fine. Just say that. You don't have to come out. It's just, it's the attitude that they all immediately come out within hours of this Pujols thing. And they don't just say, like, they've heard different information. Like, they come out and outright contradict it. And this happened to Pujols 2 years ago with Wander Franco. The exact same thing happened. He was the first person to report that Wander Franco was in extension talks with the Rays. And the Rays beat writers came in and said, no, hold on, this isn't happening. And then like 5 seconds later, the Rays announced that they signed Wander Franco to a 15-year deal or whatever it was. So just don't do it. Just don't do it, beat writers of America. Just don't. You do not need to contradict every report that comes out of the Dominican and you know, sort of act like nothing's real until it gets your stamp of approval.
I mean, yeah, obviously. Don't be a dick. That's it. That's all it is. It's very simple. Don't be a dick.
That's going to be my recommendation at the end of the show.
If you're about to send a tweet, in general, first you should be the first thing you should ask is, like, do I need to do this at all, irrespective of the content? If you don't send it. But then, like, am I being a dick? Now, look, you'll fail sometimes. I'm a dick on Twitter a lot. I blocked my Red Sox stats, but so is everybody.
I'm not. He doesn't know who I am yet. I'm still not.
That's just, it comes for us all, Dan.
Well, you could do what I do, which is just not tweet at all. That's always a possibility out there, America. That's an option.
Daddy needs that tweet, baby. Daddy needs that sweet, sweet Twitter in his life.
Got to get that. It's the sugar high that only can be matched by a Halloween gingerbread house. Tweeting and Halloween gingerbread houses.
I mean, if I eat any of that, I'm probably going to be tweeting like a storm on sugar energy. But before any of that happens, Dan and I will be drafting the 5 moments we want to see in the World Series that starts tonight. Weather permit. Oh, wait, no. It's in Houston.
We're so in the dome. Fine. Yeah, we're good. And it's also, oh, yeah, right. I was going to correct you and say it starts tomorrow, but then I realized that you were being a real professional podcast host and recognizing that this is going to come out tomorrow. So good job.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and you continually referring to today as tomorrow is probably not confusing.
Probably not.
But I think they'll know when it is. So I actually put a little bit more work into this than I usually do.
Oh, nice. Why don't you start us off then?
Emphasis on a little.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, I will start us off. I'll go first. Now, this is a sliding scale. Starting in game 4, I would like if the Phillies are up 3-0, I would like Bryce Harper to hit 4 home runs to give the Phillies the victory in 4 games. If the series goes 5 games, I would like Bryce Harper to hit 5 home runs to win the series in 5 games. 6 games, 6 homers, 7th game, 7 homers. Every single way, it is humiliating for the Astros. In the first two scenarios, they get to finish it in Philly, and obviously the fifth one will break the record for all games. If it goes back to Houston, and then he hits 6, they're going to be like, wow, well, he's not going to hit 7 tomorrow. What and then is he hits the 7, and then they win the World Series.
What is the game situation where Bryce Harper is able to, A, get 7 at-bats, but B, hit 7 home runs? Like, how bad is the Phillies pitching been if Bryce Harper hits 7 home runs?
They all get the hottest, newest, never-before-seen strain of COVID, every single one of them.
So
that wasn't what I want to see. I'm just saying that, like, that is...
How many implied. Homers has Yordan Alvarez hit in that game?
I think
you got to think about the other side here. No, in order for Bryce Harper to get up 7 times, then this game is tied and in the extra innings. And if he's already hit 6 home runs by the time his 7th home run gets hit, then this score is 15-all.
Yes, you get it now. you get it. Point is, I want the Phillies to win and Bryce Harper to have, joking aside, some sort of monster game in there to really, like, this would be the, defining series of a Hall of Fame case, even though it's made over the long haul, it helps to have something like this.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd like to see.
I completely agree. I love Bryce Harper and have for his entire career. It's been wonderful seeing him in the postseason. You know, I know I've seen the stats over and over and over again that explain that over a large enough sample size, any given player's postseason stats are pretty much going to normalize to their regular season stats. I think all hitters regress a little bit in the postseason, which makes sense because they are facing much better pitchers. They don't get to feast on the fifth starters and the mop up relievers anymore. So I think all the stats, I've seen all those numbers, and yet I am still convinced that there are a handful of players who actually just are a little bit better in the postseason and always will be. Nomar was absolutely one of those guys. In the 98-99 playoffs, he was better than he was in the regular season. And I think Bryce Harper is too. And look, I know this is impossible, but this is just one of these things that I sort of believe in blind faith. Every time he steps up to the plate this series, I'm kind of going to be expecting him to hit a home run or a double off the wall.
Yeah, that's my point. I want as much of that as possible in the most humiliating way possible. All right, you're up.
All right, so my first one, I initially felt bad that it wasn't one specific moment, but then you just gave us 4 different hypothetical moments as your first pick, so I don't feel bad anymore. So the first thing I want to see in the World Series is I want to see the entire World Series start and finish without a single player stealing a base. This is impossible. It will not happen. But God, I hate the Taco Bell stolen base, stolen taco promotion so much. I hate everything about it. I hate, first of all, that, like I said, it's a foregone conclusion. It's not even something that may or may not happen. It would be like if Taco Bell did an equivalent Super Bowl promotion, it would be like, if somebody catches the football, you get to catch a free chalupa or something like that. Like, it's never, like, we're never going to have a World Series that doesn't have a stolen base. So it's a dumb promotion to begin with. I hate the way that Fox, like Joe Buck, pretends that it's actually a possibility that's not going to happen. Like, dude, you're a baseball play-by-play guy. Let's have some integrity for your job, and let's not pretend like, ooh, is somebody going to steal a base in this World Series? Yes, somebody's going to steal a base in this World Series. I hate the fact that when it does happen, we're forced to interrupt the game and talk to, like, the awkward 55-year-old CFO of Taco Bell who's sitting in the stands while, like, Alec Boehm is hitting, and he has to talk to us about everyone in America getting a taco. I really hate that. Although I do have to admit that it's kind of hilarious that these companies spend millions of dollars throughout the year putting out really well-done, polished ad work and hiring, like, charming, talented actors to speak on behalf of the company. And then once a year, when they need someone to speak live on camera to a global audience of millions, they're just like, oh, let's just have Bob do it. And Bob gets up there, and he's awkward, and he's stumbling through his speech, and he's smiling weirdly, and Ken Rosenthal has no chemistry with him. So I take that back. I actually do kind of enjoy that for how stupid it is. But in general, my stance is I hate the stolen base, steal a taco promotion. And my God, I would just love it if one of these years nobody stole a base and Taco Bell just, I mean, I'm sure they have a clause in the contract where they don't pay for the promotion if it doesn't happen. But God, I would love it if they just get screwed.
Put some respect on Taco Bell's name.
I worked at Taco Bell.
That's not what I mean. What I mean is that who got the stolen base in the first steal a base, steal a taco promotion?
Jacoby.
In what year?
Must have been the 07 World Series.
That's correct. Do you know how many terrible, terrible gimmicks come and go? The point is not to get people to see whether there's going to be a stolen base. The point is to get people to watch any of the World Series.
Do you think that actually... do you think there is anyone out there who is like, I'm not going to watch the World Series, but I don't want to miss if there's a free taco involved? Nobody's doing that.
Okay. First of all, you don't know that. I'm seeing if you can Google...
I am challenging you for the next week. Find me one person who is only watching the World Series for the stolen taco.
I mean, I'll just offer them a taco to say that they are. It's the same difference. They don't have to watch.
That's true.
So I think, I mean, no. I know you're missing the point, but here's where you're really missing the point. If there was no stolen base during the entire of the World Series, that would be Taco Bell's dream. Because they would be talking about this shit the whole time. What you need is a stolen base in the first inning of the first
game. Oh, you're right. Yes, you are totally right. Oh my God. If there is no stolen bases until like game six, then yes, that is all America would be talking about. Would be the Taco Bell promotion. And shit, you're right. Under that scenario, people would be tuning in to game six, being like, is it going to happen? Damn it.
What you want is a hit by pitch and a stolen base.
Oh my God. That would be so great.
That's what you want. So
that would be amazing. Yes.
Criticism of like, I mean, the ad tie-ins are, it's.
Oh, what would make it even better too, is if it happens so quickly that Fox is still like showing the defensive layout of the team and so they don't, and then just like the steal happens and they don't even get it on camera.
Would be great. Okay, that's right. The best.
This is now okay. I'm changing my pick. What I want to see is I guess in this scenario it would be Kyle Schwarber too, because he's gonna lead off the World Series.
Even better.
Kyle Schwarber get hit by a pitch and then steal second on the first pitch.
That's too marketable. You don't want that. I know. You might want to wait just a couple minutes, because the idea of Kyle Schwarber stealing a base to get a taco.
Oh, you're right. God damn it. No matter what, Taco Bell wins. I can't figure this out.
And that's what everyone who eats Taco Bell realizes in the end. All right, I will go next. This one is very simple. I don't know if you saw that Gene Segura wore his uniform on the plane where the rest of the Phillies were.
I did not see that.
He wore his full uniform.
Little League vibes. I like it.
I would like Gene Segura to not take off his uniform for the entirety of the World Series.
That is
no. He can hold on. Let me be clear. He can change into clean versions of the uniform,
okay.
But just wear nothing but the uniform the whole time.
He's going to sleep in the uniform. Waking
exactly.
Up, pouring his Cheerios. Okay. Do you know? So I didn't see this picture. Do you know why he might be doing this?
Why?
Until this year, Gene Segura held the, I guess it's not the dishonor, of playing the most regular season games in Major League Baseball without playing a postseason game. This is his first. He'd been waiting longer than any other active player to get in the postseason. So he is really soaking it up, I guess.
How can you not root for these Phillies, Dan?
Dan. Whoa. Wait a minute.
I admit I'm twisting your words here.
Yeah, I did not say I was rooting for the Astros.
You did not say it.
I did not say it. You're right. I said I like this Astros team. I said I'm tired of pretending that we have to all hate the Astros team. And I think I mentioned it last week. Like I've always felt the cheating thing was a little overblown. You know, like I said, that the 51 Giants were stealing signs. Like Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world. He knew what pitch was coming. They had been stealing signs for a month up to that point. Nobody cared. Nobody cares now. I think there was even, I should have looked this up before we started. There was even another sign stealing scandal in like the, involving the Philadelphia A's, I want to say, in the 30s, where they, at one point, they tried to have like a buzzer buried in the dirt. I think I should look this up because I'm probably completely mangling this and getting it wrong. But no, just like it, this has happened throughout baseball. There are barely even any players left from that 2017 anymore. We're really just talking about Altuve, Bregman, Verlander, who, you know, is a pitcher, so he's not even relevant. So I just don't care. And they're a fun team to watch. They're filled with fun players. I love Yordan. I love Altuve. You know, but whatever. We don't have to have this conversation again. But so I'll segue into my next pick because I am not rooting for the Astros specifically, nor am I rooting for the Phillies specifically. My next pick, what I most want to see is I want to see a game 7. That's pretty much what I root for. So when I watch the World Series, unless I really hate one of the teams, meaning the Yankees, I am just rooting for the series to go as long as possible. So if the Astros win the first two games in Houston, I will then be rooting for the Phillies to tie the series up. I'll probably even be rooting for the Phillies to take the series lead because I would have more confidence in Houston's ability to drag it to game 7. That's what I want to see more than anything else. I love a long World Series. There's nothing worse after, you know, the baseball season is so long. You're watching baseball every day for 6 months, 7 months with the postseason. There's nothing worse than when it builds up to the World Series, and then it's just like a boring four-game sweep or it's over in five or something. So what I want to see is a seven-game series, and I will be, in any given game, I will be rooting for whatever team needs to win in order to prolong the series.
I think one good thing about something that doesn't make you happy about the wide openness of the field is that I think counterintuitively, I'm less worried about one of these walkovers. I know it's just one case, but I can't see this Philly team getting swept. But maybe that's just a lack of vision. However,
the first two games are really important for that, I think, because
they got to win one. They got
to
win one.
They absolutely have to, because where they can match up, you know, Nola and Wheeler can match up with Verlander and Framber. But after that, that's where Houston's advantage really comes in. They just have a much deeper starting staff in general and pitching staff. And, you know, like think about Luis Garcia, who is arguably the biggest hero of this Astros postseason so far for what he did against the Mariners. That's the last time he's pitched in this postseason, that 18-inning game. He didn't take the mound once against the Yankees. That's how deep their pitching staff is. Like the guy who's been their pitching hero didn't even take the mound last series. So I do think like the Phillies, that's true. But yeah, the Phillies absolutely need to get one of two or they're in trouble.
Okay. Here's my next one. This is funny. The Phillies look like they're going to win the World Series. The absolute second the last out is called or the home run or Rhys Hoskins steps on the plate to win it, the Sixers announce they're firing Doc Rivers. They just wait. It's the biggest news dump they could imagine. And they're just waiting for that moment. They just go, boom, do it.
That would be funny. It would be funny from a news dump perspective. Although I do got to say, like, I still have a lot of personal affinity towards Doc. And I don't necessarily want the Sixers to try and figure this situation out. So I don't know that I'm rooting for him to be fired, per se.
Yeah, that's fair, because I think that it would be... Sixers might get a little bit better if that happened.
Precisely, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, though, it would be worth it for me for the comedy to, whether the second it happens or not, see some sort of burying of some big Philly Sixers-related story, like, or trade Embiid. Like, just that, I know that wouldn't happen, but it just, something funny with the Sixers. This is mostly to troll John Leary, an OTM fan and somehow a Sixers fan who just dropped on his head as a child. His brothers are Boston fans through and through. So, oh, wait, no. One of them might like the Sixers. Eh, fuck them. Anyhow.
I haven't looked at the schedule. Do the Sixers have any home games that coincide with the home World Series game?
I was gonna check all that out, and then I just didn't.
That would be cool, because, of course, the arena is in the same complex as Citizens Bank.
Yes.
So that would be quite the mess. Have you ever been down there?
Yes, to a game of Philly? I have. I was at the Vet, and then I went to the new one.
What was your impression of the infamous Philly fan base?
Oh, man. That's what you're going there to see. Like, it's as much as the games. And, I mean, that was especially true at the Vet, mm-hmm. to a degree that I will never replicate, because there was no place like that place, except for maybe in like Pyongyang, you know. So it is incredible. I love Philly, Philly fans, the whole nine yards.
I like Philly too. My wife is from Philly. My in-laws still live there, so I go down quite a bit. I gotta say, though, so my experience, I never went to the Vet. I did go to Citizens Bank Park. It wasn't a postseason game. It was just a regular season game. But this would have been 2008, I think. So they were, you know, right in the heart. Well, I guess they hadn't. They ended up winning the World Series in 2008, right? Yeah, they did. They beat the Rays. So this was a World Series. They hadn't won the World Series yet, but they were a team in its ascendancy. And I went to the ballpark. So with the same attitude that you just said, like, I'm excited to see these famous Philly fans. And I even remember I got there early and I specifically went to the visitors' bullpen because I wanted to see, like, what are Philly fans doing to the opposing starting pitcher. And I got to tell you, I was kind of underwhelmed by the Philly crowd. Like, I don't think they were any more raucous or rude than a lot of other fan bases, really. I was kind of disappointed, kind of let down.
Let me make a distinction here. When I've gone to Citizens Bank Park, I can't think of any distinct Philly fan moments that stick out. However, when Michael Vick was still on the Falcons, they played the Eagles in a semifinal round game in the playoffs. we didn't go to the game, but we went to the tailgate.
And then did you have tickets and not make it in because you were too drunk?
No. We were just like, let's go to Philly and tailgate before this game and then go watch it at a bar. So we did it. Mm-hmm. I think that's when I got acquainted with the and also, I just know a lot of Philly fans here in New York because them and us make up a huge portion of the, you know, obviously make up the biggest portion of the out-of-towners. Okay. Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I had high expectations for them. I didn't really witness anything hardcore or funny. I think at one point, if I remember, I think it was a game against the Cardinals, and it was a close game, and the Cardinals had like a one-run lead in the late innings, and they brought in a reliever, and he was a little shaky. He walked a guy, and, you know, the crowd got into it. The crowd was on its feet, and it was loud. And I remember I was standing next to a guy, you know, prototypical, had an Eagles tattoo on his calf, was wearing a Chase Utley jersey. And he was screaming at the reliever, and he was just going, uh-oh, you're in Philly, baby, you're in Philly. And I'm just like, you can't just say that. You can't just be like, it's Philly, you are magically in trouble because you're here. Like, you actually have to do the thing that puts the guy off his game. And
Philly,
he didn't do it. That's
Philly
all they're saying.
Listeners, you're in Philly. Philly listeners, please note that Dan Secatore is saying all this.
Look, I want you guys, I want the Philly crowd to, you know, be rude and loud and obnoxious. I want that. I'm just saying, I didn't see it. That's all I'm saying, Philly. I didn't see it.
All right, are you up?
I don't know.
Where are we? I think you are. I did three. I think we got all that from the Doc Rivers thing.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, yeah, you picked Bryce Harper hitting 7 home runs. Then I picked nobody stealing a base. Then you picked Gene Segura wearing his uniform the whole time. I picked Game 7. You picked Doc Rivers. Okay, yeah, so it is my turn. All right, so I'm going to go with I want to see Jose Altuve go 4-for-4 in the first game. Actually, screw that. I'm going to change it. I want to see him go 4-for-4 in the first game, and then I want to see him go 2-for-2 to start off game 2. Because hit streaks are awesome. I love individual hit streaks. When Mercedes went on his little streak to begin the season for the White Sox last year with whatever he did, 8-for-8 or 8-for-9, that was like one of my most fun individual moments that I was tuning in to White Sox games in the first week of the season in order to see his at-bats. I think hit streaks are cool as hell. And Jose Altuve, we started the postseason, what did he start, 0-for-28 or something like that? Like, that's insane. That's insane that any player could start a postseason 0-for-28. And it's particularly insane that it's Jose Altuve, a guy who puts the bat on the ball all the time, a guy that still has legs and can beat out infield hits. Like, I literally can't believe it's possible that it happened. And I think it would be so cool if he starts the World Series and just completely turns things around. 4-for-4 in the first game, starts game 2, 2-for-2. Then we're just, you know, all watching how far can he keep this streak going in the opposite direction. So that's what I'm rooting for. Big Jose Altuve hit streak.
I didn't. The last one on the cutting room floor for me was that Altuve doesn't get a hit the whole series.
That I have to admit, that would also be kind of cool. I mean, I prefer to see players do great things rather than fall flat on their face. But I do have to admit that there would be some entertainment in that as well.
I mean, the thing with Altuve, I mean, he is the most hated baseball player by Yankees fans. I could tell you that much now. Dwarfs anybody from Boston. It's not close. And the weird
hold on. What about Aaron Judge? Yankee fans hate them some Aaron Judge.
I don't know how Bregman, who's like so slimy to me, has sort of evaded the hate.
I love Bregman. Love that guy.
What is happening to Dan?
Love Alex Bregman. First of all, look.
We're gonna have an intervention. I'm gonna talk to Keaton, and if I'm talking to Keaton, things are bad.
Alex Bregman is a Jewish baseball star. I'm not Jewish myself, but I have a ton of Jewish friends. And I would say the Jewish people in general are a big part of my baseball fandom. Like, I have a ton of friends who are Jewish baseball fans. And I think it's great that you know, he's representing the tribe on the field. I love that. I'm just like, I'm never not going to root for a New Englander. I'm always going to root for a Jewish baseball player.
I live in New York. Basically, all my friends are Jewish baseball fans. And you know what else they have in common? They fucking hate Alex Bregman.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, that's the whole self-loathing thing. That's part of,
well, I got that
part
one
of the
too.
Identity.
I got that one too. All right, fair. That's not what I would choose.
And I also like he's a smart guy. He's not afraid to get political. And when he gets political, he's not calling Sandy Hook a false flag. So, like, he's smart. He's funny. He's a good Twitter follow. I like Alex Bregman. I really do.
Hope he hears this, bro.
Alex, if you're listening, I don't have a follow-up. Thanks for listening.
Well, I have a great follow-up because my next pick is 1 hour before game one, there's a Jeff Passan tweet that says, multiple league sources confirm to ESPN that the Astros are the subject of another cheating scandal, having been detected as recently as these playoffs. And then I don't care if it's real or not. It's just it. It's like exactly the Patriots with the footballs. The timing of it just perfectly done to shit on everything. Run it back. Let's do it again.
What do you have any guesses as to what the scandal would entail this time?
Oh, just like, you know, I mean, maybe it's like the chess thing. Maybe there's anal beads. You know, they're like, I mean, that would work. So let's go with the anal beads.
Okay. You want some
and
anal
the
ump, beads?
The umps are, you know, they have to check the hands. So, you know, I don't know.
Oh, God, that's true. Oh, man, what a bad position Rob Manfred's in right there if he all of a sudden needs to start checking for that.
Yes.
That would get people watching.
That's what I'm talking about.
We'd have an entire new crowd of A, people who love Taco Bell.
Please steal the base. Please steal the base before you touch that taco.
You perverts.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Rob Manfred's baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was proud of that one. All right. You're next.
That's a pretty good one. All right. My next one. So I should have brought this up earlier since it has to do with Bryce Harper hitting a home run. What I want to see, though, is I want to see Bryce Harper intentionally walked in a key situation. And then I want to see Nick Castellanos hit like a grand slam on the first pitch after Bryce Harper has intentionally walked. And then I want all of the baseball world to agree that the intentional walk sucks and should be banned and should never exist. I hate it so much. This has been a hobby horse of mine for a while. Like, especially, and this is a prime example. Bryce Harper right now is the hottest player on the planet. He's arguably the most famous baseball player and has been for 10 years. And he's DHing because he can't throw, which means he only gets to impact the game 4 times. The cameras are only going to show Bryce Harper 4 or 5 times a game.
I will take that bet.
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. Yes, he will be on camera much more than that. But he will only be on camera doing something on the field 4 or 5 times a game. And the fact that Major League Baseball is totally cool with saying, yeah, our giant, massive star who is the story of the postseason, we're okay with him only being on camera on the field doing something 4 times and then one of those times just being taken away. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I hate the intentional walk. I don't get how every baseball fan doesn't completely hate it. Like, you're all of a sudden, we're watching baseball. We're getting excited. Cool. All-time great players coming up in a key moment. Oh, never mind. We don't even see them. They don't even throw the pitches anymore. They just wave in the first base. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I want it to go away. And the only way I think it will go away is if things like this happen.
So I'm going to disagree with your detective work there. I don't know if you're aware who the most exciting Red Sox player in postseason history is and what position he played.
Yeah, okay, I have an idea.
Nor do I think you realize that the 2002 World Series, while notable for its considerable avoidance of a certain player on the Giants, ended up being an incredible series despite all that. The kid was almost run over. I mean,
Dusty Baker's kid. Another interesting thing about Dusty Baker.
Oh, man. I have no problem with the intentional walk. I mean, it's the here's my twist, and I'd probably replace the Doc Rivers one with this. I want the Castellanos memes to end.
Really? You're not a fan of the memes?
They're just so loosely applied. They've gotten,
that is true.
They've gotten farther and it was neat because they sort of like, obviously they were right on the money like the first two or three times. Then they were only a little bit off the money, and now it's just like, oh, it's raining today. Oh shit, is Castellanos up? It's like, no, it's fucking raining.
That is actually something that really bothers me. I haven't seen it as much with the Castellanos meme, but the one thing where I really see it all the time on like t-shirts and water bottles is when people steal the keep calm and carry on thing from the London Tube. And it's just like keep calm and some completely random combination of words.
Like kale on. Keep calm and kale on.
They don't even necessarily rhyme. I've multiple times in my life seen a shirt that says keep calm and stay thirsty. Which is like you're combining two totally different things here. They don't relate to each other at all. They don't rhyme. It bothers me to all hell. So I actually, yeah, I guess I do. I am sympathetic to your standpoint that the Castellanos meme is being misapplied in the same way.
And it's going to be in the World Series.
Yeah.
All right, for my last choice, and I hinted at this, if the Astros must win, okay, I want Yordan to win it on some actual Roy Hobbs shit, breaking the lights in Minute Maid Park, and just rounding the bases. Because he is by far my favorite Astro and one of the five favorite players in the game who are not Red Sox. Just like hands down.
He is awesome. He really is like the prototypical baseball slugger. And it's so funny to keep seeing opposing managers in this postseason bring in a lefty to face him as if everyone just assumes he's just this sort of like one dimensional slugger who can't hit lefties. He OPS'd 1,000 against lefties this year. Like, he strikes out below league average. Like, this guy is just an amazing hitter. And managers keep doing this bringing a lefty thing in. And it just doesn't work at all. It's hilarious. I love the guy.
We've obviously seen a lot of strong hitters. And I'm like, for just even the steroid guys, if you can sort of just like de-steroid them in your mind, just natural strength. I mean, the Yankees have had two of the strongest guys I've ever seen for the last few years, and I think Yordan is stronger than both of them.
The bat looks smaller in Yordan's hands than it does in anyone else's hands in baseball, I think. I don't have that. That's, I don't know how to prove that, but that's something I believe in my core.
If he became Reggie Jackson, that's fine with me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, so you were rooting for the Astros too. Glad.
Yeah. Glad. Sorry, big reveal. Yes.
Figured this out.
Yeah. All right, your last choice.
My last choice, and fittingly, I will go with something that would be the last moment of the series. What I want more than anything else in the world is for the World Series winners to be on the field celebrating their accomplishment. I want Rob Manfred to walk out with the World Series trophy. And then I want a player, let's say Yordan Alvarez, because we just talked about how big and strong he is. I want Yordan Alvarez to rush over. I want him to push the Astros owner out of the way. And I want him to grab the trophy directly from Rob Manfred's hands, because nothing bothers me more in the world than the fact that the owner, who we don't care about, who we don't know, who didn't play a single inning is the person who gets to hold the trophy first. It is so dumb. It just says so much about Major League Baseball and the people who run it and America, really. And I hate it. I just, one of these days, I want a player to just snap and say, get the fuck out of here. We just won that trophy, not you. Go sit down.
I mean, that's fair, but for owners, this is just fantasy baseball. And they're like, this is why I play.
I don't even think that's true anymore. I think that was true 20 years ago. Now I think owners...
Now they just want to sell t-shirts.
They just like being in the club. They just like being in the club. They like making money. If they win, they're like, hey, this is great. This is cool. If they don't win, they're totally fine with it too. No, there aren't any owners anymore who, you know, do not that I'm holding up George Steinbrenner as a paragon of anything, but I truly don't believe there are any owners who lose a game and then, you know, can't sleep for the next 3 days and just spend the next 6 months trying to figure out how to get better. That's just that owner has gone extinct.
Or is just put away his wallet. So that's our draft. I won, so congrats to me. I mean, I got you to change your first thing in like 5 seconds.
I can't believe how much I've been foiled by Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's the thing.
God, this is, I feel so
this
helpless.
Is happen. This is happening. I mean, the way you need it to happen is like it happens so fast that the CEO or whatever doesn't get on until like the fourth inning. Then the corporation side is mad, and they're like, blah, 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 and then no more taco.
But like you said, it's Schwarber. Then that's such a all the pictures of Schwarber at Taco Bell after the series.
He would be their spokesperson if they won the World Series, and he did that. He'd become Taco Bell's spokesperson.
Yeah, there's no way around this. There's no escaping it. Taco Bell wins.
Yes. Before we go, do you have anything from outside the world of baseball or Taco Bell that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I do not.
Yeah, you forgot again.
I didn't.
This was your idea.
This is my idea. I said I would come up with a recommendation during the show, not thinking about the fact that we're just going to spend the next hour talking, and I didn't really have time to jot anything down.
So mine is, and I would like to replace my first one. So this is good because now we'll just be even in numbers.
Okay.
Because my first one, I said Kirby the Forgotten Land on Switch. I was panicking. You know, that's my kids play that. It's a kids game. It's fun, but it's a kids game. But I have a better Switch game, cheaper, to recommend. It's called What the Golf. It is nominally a golf game. However, it is absurdist. The best way I can describe it is every hole has three different levels, and a lot of drugs went into making this game, like a lot. And there's a hole where every hole takes place on sort of like an island, so you can't go off the side. And there's a car on the course, and if you hit the car, it drives your ball off the side, so you got to go around the car to get it in the hole. And that's the first version of it. The second one is you need to get a hole-in-one, which, how are you supposed to do that? The car's right in the way. Well, instead of shooting a golf ball, now you are launching a cow over all of it. And then the last...
Is this live golf? That's what it sounds like.
Yes. And then in the third version of it, you wind up to swing and you have to knock over the trees on the course. But when you follow through the swing, the car actually bounces around. So you're using the car to knock over the things.
Oh, nice.
There are many different levels. That there's Big Lebowski homages. There's a Super Mario Brothers homage. There is the acid level, which is terrifying.
Like you're playing on acid? It's like a Doc Ellis situation?
It's just very, very creepy intentionally. So, and it's a $10 game. You could probably finish it in a few days. Highly, highly recommended. I got it from Mark Normand, former site manager here. Great game for adults.
That does sound enticing. I'm intrigued there. I will briefly recommend something. I'll recommend another TV show, the first episode of which I watched last night. I don't know that this is a good show. Even, and I'm not just saying that because I haven't seen the rest of it. I don't even know if the first episode I watched was good. But have you heard of the new Interview with the Vampire show?
Not enough to say yes.
Okay, so this show, it's on AMC. It stars the guy who played Grey Worm in Game of Thrones. So all I'll say about this show is... No, not that guy. The guy who was the Unsullied general.
Yeah.
So all I'll say about this is the most extra show I have ever seen in every possible way. I mean, it is hilariously erotic and hilariously violent and just like like I said, maybe not a great show, but the week before Halloween, if you're just trying to have some fun and relax, like this show is fucking out there. So it's a fun watch, if nothing else. Maybe. Like I said, I've only seen one episode.
It sounds like it. I like that that guy was like, I got to do a role where I have a dick this time.
Oh yes. There, you will see dicks. You will see
it's like, two I vampires need having sex to show in the sky. People that I have this. All right? They don't let them think it's real.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, he was afraid of getting typecast as someone who doesn't have a penis. Mm. So he went in the complete opposite direction.
Well, on that note, we're going to pack it up for this particular edition of the Over the Monster podcast. Thank you for
listening
to us.
Happy Yankee Elimination Day, everybody, again.
Yeah, the celebrations go on all month. There's no time limit. Anyhow, you could follow me at Brian Joyner, BryanJoyner, and Dan at Dan Secatore, spelled like it sounds if you know Italian sounds. That is it, and go Phillies from this side, and go Astros from Dan's side. But
I just want everyone to have a good time, and for no one to get any tacos.
Yeah. All right. That's it, guys.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Bye. Take care.